in, and then followed by Neil Keelog as he comes to speak to us.
So there are two readings this morning, and the first reading is from Genesis 1, verses 27 to 31. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant, the face of the earth, and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth, and to all the birds of the air, and to all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. This is the word of the Lord.
Okay, good morning. I wanted just to take a few minutes of your time to talk about our planet and what we can do to look after it for future generations. Now, the story of creation as told in the book of Genesis starts with verse 1, which states that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, and concludes in verse 31 after 6 days of creative activity with the statement that God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. The writer of Ecclesiastes reminds us that in contrast to the earth, our lives are transient. We are created beings whose existence on the earth is very brief. He says, "Generations come and generations go, but the earth remains forever." And the prophet Isaiah makes the same point, although more poetically. He says, "The life of mortals is like grass. They flourish like a flower in the field. The wind blows over it and it's gone, and its place remembers it no more." So what is our relationship with the earth as a whole and with our local environment? Well, I think there needs to be a recognition on our part, as the psalmist says, that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. The Lord God is the creator, the sustainer and possessor of the world. He made it for us to live in and enjoy. However, I believe that we've also been given the responsibility to cherish and to look after the earth for our own use and for use of the generations to come. Now, you'll be aware that God's perfect plan for his creation was undone by Adam and Eve and their sin in the Garden of Eden when they were disobedient to God. And ever since that day, creation has been subject to corruption and decay. And Paul says in his letter to the Romans, "For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that creation itself will be free from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God." And Paul appears to be looking forward to the day when the Lord Jesus will return to wrap up history, the day when we and the rest of creation will be freed from the effects of corruption and decay brought about by our sin. Now, on that last day, the Apostle Peter outlines what we can expect to happen to the earth and the heavens. He says, "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. And Peter's words are echoed in the book of Revelation, where as the new Jerusalem descends from heaven to earth, God declares that he is making everything new. So, what should we be doing whilst we await Christ's return? Well, I believe one of the tasks we've been given is to care for and protect our environment. And this is reflected at the local level in one of our community transformation goals, which states that we will work with the residents and local community to ensure it's a safe, clean, healthy and happy place to live. And this morning, I want to focus on one specific threat to that goal of a safe, clean and healthy environment, and that is air pollution. And I want to ask the question what God might be asking us to do to reduce that threat. Now, I'm sure all of you are familiar with the term global warming. And the terms simply describe what is happening to the Earth's climate. And the most recent scientific research indicates that there's never been a period in the last 2,000 years when temperature change has been as fast and as widespread across the globe than in recent decades, despite what a number of senior politicians might say. This warming of the planet has been and is being caused by human activity. It's not the result of natural causes. And global warming is caused by what's known as the greenhouse effect. And this happens when the Earth's atmosphere traps the heat radiating out from the Earth into space. And certain gases in the atmosphere are responsible for stopping that heat escaping. And the most common of them are carbon dioxide and methane. Now, as most of you know, that carbon dioxide is produced by natural processes. You're all sitting there in front of it at the moment. You're all breathing out carbon dioxide. But it's also produced in huge quantities by burning fossil fuels, such as coal, oil, and gas to produce electricity and for its use as fuel in our cars and other transport. As you probably know also, plants and trees absorb carbon dioxide from the atmosphere. But in large areas of the world, trees are being cut down at an alarming rate to provide more land for farming. Methane is also produced naturally, mainly by decomposing cow manure. We also produce it by the landfill, which takes the household waste that we produce on a weekly basis. Well, what are the consequences of global warming? Well, as the Earth steadily becomes warmer, some parts of the Earth will become wetter, whilst other areas will become drier. Both of those impacts will have a significant change in the type of crops that can be grown. Many regions of the world will suffer more frequent extreme weather events. You've seen in recent months the effects of tropical storms battering parts of Africa and America. Heavy rainfall causing flooding, landslips, and other areas suffer severe droughts, turning some areas into deserts. And I think all of you will be aware that on Thursday last week in the UK, we recorded our highest temperature ever. The melting of the polar ice caps and glaciers in mountainous areas will result in a rise in the sea level and low-lying islands and land becoming flooded. So what can we do to reduce the rate of global warming and protect the planet for future generations? I'm simply going to outline some of the things that Jackie, my wife, and I have done as an example. What I am not saying is that you should do the same things that we do, because your circumstances may be very different to ours. But I am asking you to prayerfully consider what God might be prompting you to do. So when Jackie and I retired almost 3 years ago, we decided that we no longer needed two cars to get around. Our retirement coincided with our reaching 60 and receiving a 60 plus Oyster Pass that entitles us to free travel anywhere in London on public transport. And the combination of the free travel pass and only having one car has dramatically reduced the amount of petrol we use. We also enjoy walking, so we often use a combination of walking and public transport to get to and from places. You'll also be aware that air flights are a major source of carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. Now, Jackie and I both enjoy travelling, so we were concerned about this. And in an effort to reduce our air miles, we've looked at alternative means of travelling to destinations and found quite a number of those places that we want to go to can be reached by train. And our most recent excursion was to Amsterdam on the Eurostar, where we found the majority of the people living in that city moving around by bicycle or by electric tram. We saw very few cars being used, which is in complete contrast to London. We recently had a smart meter fitted in our house to monitor our energy consumption, and actually seeing the monitor showing how much money it's costing us to run various appliances has encouraged us to reduce the amount of energy that we use. We've replaced some of the old light bulbs in the house with LED lights. We turned off appliances when they're not in use, and we're only boiling the exact amount of water that we need to make cups of coffee. All of that has made a difference. As I said earlier, a large amount of methane gas present in the atmosphere is a byproduct of the manure produced by farm animals bred for meat. So in recent months, Jackie and I have started to reduce the amount of meat that we eat as part of our diet. Eating less meat, particularly beef, will reduce the number of cattle being reared and so reduce the amount of greenhouse gases being produced. And in certain areas of the world, such as the Amazon rainforest, it will reduce the amount of trees being felled to provide more grazing land for cattle. Lastly, I've started to look at the amount of insulation we have in our loft. Recent work carried out on the house meant that a lot of the insulation was damaged and moved. And I'm looking at replacing what has been damaged with a thicker layer of natural wool fibre with the aim of further reducing our heating bills in the winter. Now, I'm sure that what Jackie and I have done won't make a significant difference to the amount of greenhouse gases being pumped into the atmosphere. But I am equally sure that if everyone in this country thought carefully about what they could do to reduce their energy use, it would make a significant difference to the rate of global warming. Is there more that Jackie and I could do? Well, I'm sure there is. But could we ask you to consider prayerfully what you might do? I want to leave you with a final thought taken from a newspaper article that was published last week concerning a glacier in Iceland. For those of you who don't know, glaciers are huge rivers of ice formed from snow that falls in mountainous areas, which then flow to the sea. The article stated that the first of Iceland's 400 glaciers to be lost to climate change will be remembered with a memorial plaque and a somber warning. The Öskjökull glacier, which a century ago covered 15 square kilometres and was 50 metres thick, has shrunk to barely one square kilometre of ice 15 metres deep and has lost its status as a glacier. A memorial plaque will be unveiled on the 18th of August in the form of a letter to future generations. It will simply state that Öskjökull is the first Icelandic glacier to lose its status as a glacier. In the next 200 years, all our 400 glaciers are expected to follow the same path. This monument is to acknowledge that we know what is happening and what needs to be done. Only you know if we did it.
The second reading is from Romans 8, verses 18 to 25, our future glory. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen in no hope at all, who hopes for what already has. But if we hope for what we do not have yet, we wait for it patiently. This is the word of the Lord.
Hello. It's actually good to be able to talk today because I lost my voice last week, so it's literally good to be able to talk today. I started to wonder, because David spoke to me a while ago and said about talking about the environment, I started to wonder what I could say. Did I even have anything to say on the environment? And then I started to think about what we do in our house and the plastic sort of we use. Plastic for us is a big thing in our house. It all began last year when we discovered an interesting comparison between a bottle of liquid soap compared to a bar of soap. Did you know that it takes 6 times the amount of liquid soap to accomplish the same task as a bar of soap? That means 6 times the amount of raw materials needed to manufacture it, 6 times more space in a lorry needed to transport it, 6 times more carbon emissions. Scientists have found that liquid soap actually has 10 times the carbon footprint of a bar of soap. We talked about this in our house. And for us to sort of protect our environment, we needed to think about the changes that we could make, not only for us, but for our children and their children. So since then, we've stopped using liquid soap and we've been using bars of soap ever since. For us as a family, I know David has mentioned previously, we have a habits of the house that we live by at home. We're looking at ways to help our community in Highfield Road and looking at ways that we can help to love our neighbour. But one thing we've come to realise that in order to love our neighbours, we have to look after our community. We have to be part of the solution by picking up the rubbish. If you were here in March for Dilip's civic service, you would have heard a few of the girls reading out some of their prayers. Our daughter Grace was one of those girls. They had written their prayers separately, but in some way they were all about the environment. Grace's one, if you were here, was particularly long. The bishop actually spoke to David and said her prayer was actually more like a manifesto than it was a prayer. If you ask Grace what she wants to be when she's older, she'll tell you it's a marine biologist, because she wants to work with and save the turtles and the whales. They're her favourite. It was David Attenborough's Blue Planet 2 documentary, which aired in 2017, which highlighted the catastrophic issue of plastic pollution in our oceans. I thought it might be good here to give a few interesting facts that I've discovered. Could I have the next slide, please? Every piece of plastic that has ever been made is still around today and will be for the next few thousand years. That's because plastic doesn't biodegrade and it doesn't disappear. Some plastics can be recycled into something else, but they are still around. Next one, please. The Great Pacific Garbage Patch. Sorry, I've got a really dry mouth. There's about 80 tons of plastic floating in an area of 1.6 million square kilometres. If you can't picture how big that is, it's 3 times the size of France. And it is just plastic and rubbish. In actual fact, researchers have found that 99% of everything floating in it is plastic. Could I have the next slide? Plastic or plastic fibres are in practically everything, including tea bags. I actually found this quite astounding when I found out. I didn't think it could actually be true because plastic is quite hard wearing and tea bags tend to rip the moment you look at them and you've got tea leaves everywhere. I got out our box that we had used Tesco decaf at home. It says nothing on the box about plastic being in them. So I went on Twitter and I did tweet them, and sure enough, there is plastic in their tea bags. They assured me that they're working on a plastic-free tea bag, but they're not currently happy with the quality and will keep working on it. As we begin to think more about the plastic we use as a family and how we can reduce it, I started reading a couple of books. Could I have the next slide, please? One is called No More Plastic, and the other is How to Live a Plastic-Free Life. They've both been really good at helping us make changes at home. The No More Plastic is full of what they call two-minute solutions. It's not about throwing away everything in your house that's plastic, but it's making two-minute solutions. It's about, they suggest setting a timer for 2 minutes to go outside, go for a walk, go to the park, for a walk through a forest, and see how much rubbish you can pick up in those 2 minutes. Every bit of rubbish picked up and disposed of appropriately means less rubbish on the streets. That means less rubbish and plastic finds its way into the streams, rivers, and eventually the ocean. In our house, we're doing everything we can to make sure that we recycle. I do have to say at this point, I do think I'm getting slightly on their nerves at home, because I do moan when they put something in a recycling bag that can't be recycled. I bought this Lucozade bottle with me as an example. If this goes in the recycling bag as it is, once it gets to the recycling centre, that's actually rejected and goes to landfill. The reason is the sleeve can't be recycled, but the plastic bottle can. They won't be separated, it will just be rejected, and it then will then sit in landfill. There is more that the government and the recycling centres can do. We aren't perfect as a family, and there is much more we can do to help protect our environment. But there are a few changes that we have made at home that we hope is beginning to make a small change to protect our community, to protect our environment, and to protect God's creation. Some of those changes might be helpful to anyone here that is thinking, I don't know where to start. Because if we can all make a small change together, it will make a huge impact on our environment. We have stopped using liquid soap in plastic bottles and now use bars of soap. We buy washing powder at home in cardboard box instead of the plastic liquid bottles. We've gone back to using a milkman and our milk is delivered in glass bottles. I have to say I enjoy this one because we always had a milkman when we were younger. And there is something ridiculously exciting about getting the milk in when it's delivered in the morning. We've stopped buying sponges for the kitchen and bathroom because they contain plastic fibres and they're just thrown away and it sits in landfill. Instead, we have cotton cloths or flannels that can be washed and reused again and again. We have reusable water bottles and try not to buy plastic ones when we can. We try to buy loose items like bananas and apples at the shop instead of the ones that come in plastic wrappings. We try to reuse shopping bags as much as possible, but we normally fail at this one because when we get to the till, we've realised we've left them in the car. There are many other things that we are hoping to do, such as set up a compost bin, which will reduce the amount of things we throw away. In actual fact, Havering Council are offering discounts to Havering residents on compost bins, if anyone is interested. Our biggest ambition is to buy an electric car, so we will no longer be adding to the air pollution and carbon emissions to help save the environment, but that one's a little way off. We are by no means perfect. We don't live a plastic-free life, and we probably throw away more things than we should. But we are making small changes and consciously think about the impact we are making on our world and on God's creation to help love our neighbour. Today we've been looking at the environment and how we can change it. But as we look at the reading today from Romans chapter 8, we can be assured that we have a certain hope of rescue. As we look to undo or change the damage we have done to the earth, the task can almost seem impossible. However, we can see from the reading that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed. Our world and our environment is in a bad way, but we can hold on to the promise of a better life is coming. As we begin to create a better life here on earth for each and every one of us, we are partnering with God in his mission to bring his kingdom environment here on earth, because we will start to bring healing to his creation. Paul in Romans describes the whole creation as being groaning as in the pains of childbirth. When someone hurts himself, the pain doesn't have a purpose. But with childbirth, the purpose of the pain brings with it a promise of new life. Climate change could be creation groaning in pain. But through our small actions, we will each bring healing and a hope of a new earth. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. As we wait patiently in hope for a renewed earth, what changes do you think you could make today to help protect our environment so that tomorrow can be different for us all?